everybody. Welcome back to Christmas Clatter. It's been, what, 3 weeks? No episodes after going weekly because dadgum work. That's all I can say. It's been the craziest year of Christmas holiday season at the post office I've seen in my 18 years of doing it. And just have not been able to get off in time. And there was one day I did get off in barely enough time, but I was just so flat wore out. I just was like, I just can't. Nobody wants to see me nodding off here on YouTube or listen to me nodding off on the podcast. So got a great episode for you. There's going to be a little bit change of schedule. We'll be back on Wednesdays next week. Hopefully I can get my work things rolled out. The essential Christmas songs list, I'm going to pick up where I left off on announcing the list. However, before Thanksgiving, I will put all the songs on the playlist instead of waiting, but then I'll reveal them each per episode, because I really wanted the list completed before all end day on Friday. And so I'm going to keep doing that, that way. And then I'll have my advent calendar on YouTube only. I might try to make it shorts for Instagram and that kind of thing. And for some reason, when I said make it shorts, I've always had this dad joke of me wanting to like move to Bermuda and starting a channel called Bermuda Shorts, where I just do short videos on the beach. But I'm sorry, I got distracted by my own dad jokes. But it happens. See, there's something else I need to say. I wish I would learn to write these things down. I always think that my mind's a steel trap until I need to say something. And then it is a steel trap. It's all rusty and stuck open. So things just fly out of there and things. But guys, I really do want to extend my apologies, for not being able to have an episode. That's first time since, first time in a couple of years when I got real sick, but anyway, one thing I want to talk to you before we get to Jack. I know Steven's interested to see what Jack has to say, because when I get Jack on, I actually tricked him. We're not talking about Christmas. We're going to talk all politics and religion. It's all we're going to talk about. No, we're not. But I want to show you guys a few things. Last weekend, I did a short where me and Ken Smith from the North Pole Dispatch ended up in Atlanta at the Center for Puppetry Arts. And I got a few pictures. I'm not going to show you all my pictures because you guys don't want to see those. But this is a Rudolph ride that used to be parked in front of the Woolworth stores. Woolworth's was the no Montgomery Ward. I'm sorry, Montgomery Ward stores, who were originally used Rudolph as an ad campaign. And this is a Rudolph in his original stylings in the story. And it's old quarter ride. Probably wasn't a quarter then. I don't remember, but you put some change in there and it just would rock back and forth. But it was super cool to see that there and things. And then we also had him and Otter's Jug Band was there. I couldn't believe it. I didn't know these guys were going to be there. And I probably had the biggest, goofiest smile and was nearly kind of maybe, I wouldn't say brought to tears, but just the smile on my face just was genuine. I complete surprise that they were there. And it was so cool to see all the puppets. They had a lot of stuff there. And like I said, I'm not going to roll through all the pictures I had. I just pulled out some of the highlights. One I didn't put in here, they had like a Chucky from one of the Chucky movies, and they had the puppets from Mystery Science 3000 were there and some others. So, of course, a lot of Jim Henson stuff, which is very cool. And then these were the star of the show. These are the Santa and Rudolph from the 64 special. I think these were actually ones made for the Japanese special. If you ever seen the episode of the Antiques Roadshow from 2005, where the guy brought these in, these are those, and they've been officially restored and all that, and they were very cool to see. A lot smaller than I thought they were going to be. I thought they'd be a little bit bigger, but they were were smaller than I thought they would be, but very cool to see them. The details on these things, you know, and this just got both my cameras in here, but this is a classic Big Bird here and stuff. But, you know, he, let me get this off there. Yeah, Big Bird. He is big. He's very tall. He's got to be like 8 foot tall, I bet. But, and then let's see who we have here. Oh, and then old Kermit was there as well. Miss Piggy was there. Cookie Monster, you name it. The only two that I think we missed seeing that weren't there would be Oscar the Grouch and the Count. And those are the only two off the top of my head that weren't there. But if you're ever in Atlanta, it's definitely worth the trip to go to the Center of Puppetry Arts. Me and Ken had a blast there. And in fact, for those on YouTube, if you bear with me a second, there was a picture I needed to pull up and see if I could show you guys here. Oh well, I'll put it out. But we went and saw the puppet show. They made these puppets of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, these real, you know, super high end ones, and did a puppet show of the story. And we were waiting for it to start, and we had just got done in the gift shop, and Ken was sitting, they had turned like Big Bird's nest into like a couch. He was sitting in it, and then I just sat beside him, and we were sitting there thumbing our phones, and some lady from behind took a picture of us sitting in Big Bird's nest together, and we didn't know it. She came up to us at the puppet show and was like, hey, I don't want to sound like a weirdo or anything, but I took a picture of you guys without you knowing, and she showed it and laughed, and she texted it to me and things, and I need to get that up, but it was pretty funny. Just two middle-aged guys hanging out in at Big Bird's nest. You know, what more can you say? But, man, we got Thanksgiving coming up here in the States. That's probably something I'll talk to Jack about for sure, is Thanksgiving. See if he partakes in American Thanksgiving or what he does. I know a lot of people do. I think Adam tries to a little bit. But anyway, then we'll be into December. Not next week, but the week after. It's rolling along. Rolling along. And I can't believe it. It's like, it just seems like I started podcasting again just a few weeks ago. And it's been back in July. And we are here on the precipice of All In Day, Black Friday, day after Thanksgiving in the States. And it's crazy. It's wild. There was something else I was going to tell you guys, but man, I cannot think of it. I'll think about it at the most opportune time and probably have to interject. But again, I should have wrote stuff down. This should be a professional show, but it's not. So guys, I'm joined by Jack Ford of the Total Christmas Podcast, making his Christmas Clatter debut. Jack has one of the, if not the funniest, Christmas podcast. I always enjoy it. I always enjoy listening to what he has to say and his unique takes. Just one thing. Don't refer to it as the Ghost of Christmas Future. You can't say that around Jack. He gets triggered. And just don't put it in the comments. We just want to keep this a family-friendly show. So, without any further ado, here is Jack Ford.
Hey, hey. Jack,
how's it going?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on. I want to say, I've been listening to your podcast long before I started mine, and I remember, because I started listening to it a few months after you started doing it, and it was just coming up to Christmas, and I binged your show, and I just loved it. And I don't think you do it as much as you used to, but I loved your Christmas memories. And there was one that you actually let me play it on my show, and I must have listened to it like four or five times. The story about when you went to get a Christmas tree with your family, and the way you told the story was so relaxed and laid back. It just, yeah, I just found it. It's just, that's what a lot of Christmas should be about. It's not, well, a lot of it's fun and excitement and that sort of thing, but then it's also the cozy aspect. And your stories, they always give me like the Christmas cozy feels. Yeah. Well, so thank you so much for having me on. I'm truly honoured. You blessed my podcast last year by coming on, and this year I get to come on yours.
Oh yeah, that's how it works. But I appreciate that. I quit sharing a lot of the Christmas memories because I start running out.
There's so many memories.
Yeah, there's only, you know, Christmas is always fun, but there's not ever, you know, every Christmas there's not something that's just absolutely memorable, you know, and stuff. But actually, that story, I've been working on it. I think I almost have it. I have it done. I think I just need to look at it again. I'm actually really considering turning that into a Christmas children's book.
Oh, you story. Should.
Yeah. And, so I've wrote it out more. I've had to change a few things to make it, cause it, when you talk it, it's one thing versus when you read it, you know? So I kind of took the transcript of that episode and kind of redid it a little bit to make it more readable, the readability to be a little bit higher and probably kind of lower the reading level a little bit. So, you know, be more of a children's book and things. So that's something I've been, you know, kicking around here and there. So, yeah.
Yeah. Also the one about when I think you were going through a tough time and your kids decorated the tree.
Yeah.
That was also really classic. I love that one as well. Those are my two favorites.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. I was going through a divorce and my kids and my mom, I was living with my parents at the time. My two boys and my mom ended up decorating the tree for me. And it was just like, it was kind of one of them moments where it's just like, you know, when you're going through a bunch of junk, it's just kind of one of those moments that just kind of bring you back to reality and get you recentered, you know, and realize, you know, that the stress isn't worth all the stress. So, So let's talk, you know, I love Total Christmas Podcast. I love your sense of humor. What got
have you ever listened to it, Todd?
Once when you had me on there. So
you chose the right one to listen to.
Yeah,
awful. I've got to say. So well done for picking up a winner.
No. I listen. But what got you started in wanting to do a Christmas podcast?
Oh, do you know what I'm a gardener. I work on my own. I know you work on your own as a postal deliverer. You told me last year, what is it? A mail?
Yeah, letter carrier.
Letter carrier. Sorry, there we go.
Yeah.
So all day I'm on my own. So I just listen to podcasts nonstop. And I used to listen to it. I could do that. But I couldn't think of what sort of my niche was. Because I think you need a niche if you want to sort of get any listeners. Especially if you're not famous, because there's enough famous people out there doing it these days. So, and I've always loved Christmas. And I thought, do you know what? I bet I'll be the first Christmas podcast out there. And then I'd look, and there was loads.
Yeah.
And I say loads, actually. I think I just got just after the snowball had got its peak. So, because I was after you, but I was just before Jerry with Totally Rad.
Yeah.
Which I love reminding him of. Because the name of his podcast is very similar to mine. So I thought, you know what? I love Christmas. I've always loved Christmas. And so I wanted to talk about Christmas. And what I try to do is have loads of different stuff in each episode so that if you're bored with one segment, don't worry. We've got a new one coming along in a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. That's always fun to do, but it is challenging to do so many different segments. Because it's like you got to keep so many irons in the fire.
Sometimes stuff going on with the family, and I've got because if your listeners aren't familiar, I often do an episode. I discuss different versions of A Christmas Carol, and it's, I have to watch them like two or three times to make my notes and, you know, see what stands out against other versions. And if it's a feature length one, then to watch it three times, I could be looking at nearly 6 hours just watching. You know, it does take up a lot of time. But then if I'm lucky, I've got a couple of people that send in segments, like Bob Baker from Festive Forum Film Fans. He always sends me two segments every episode. So that sort of helps me a lot to, you know. And then I'll do the quiz, which is pretty easy as well. The quiz doesn't take too much research as well. You had to go at the quiz, did you? What did you score? 10, was it? 10 out of 10?
I can't remember. It might have been 9 out of 10. There might have been more.
What? No, it was not nine.
I don't know. I don't know what I got. I don't remember. I have to listen to that, listen to that episode again. But you know, I had different segments for a while starting Christmas Clatter, and one of them was like the most wonderful talent of the year. You know how hard it was to get people to send me them singing or playing music or something? They just weren't.
Remember that? Yeah, of course you did.
Yeah.
Come on about just, that. It was good though when people did send stuff in.
Yeah.
That's the problem is you want people to get involved. But when they do, it makes the show that much better. Yeah.
It's like one of those things. It's like, I need to get people involved to make, because people really enjoy it when other people are involved. But then it's like, how do you get people involved? And, you know, it is a lot to put yourself out there. You know, I had Charles send in some drawings and stuff, and that was cool. And then some, I think a couple of people sent him some songs and things, which was.
I remember some music.
Yeah. Which is probably the easiest thing for podcast only, you know, which I was doing at the time. But so here in the States, we are 2 days away from Thanksgiving. How much do you celebrate Thanksgiving, or if any at all, there in the UK?
Me?
Yeah.
I've got the wife in the kitchen as we speak, killing the turkey.
Yeah.
She's doing that. You might be able to hear the squawking in the back. No, you know what? I think you could easily not know what was going on.
I think it's only
listening to Christmas podcasts that I've become aware of when it is, because most Christmas podcasters are in the States, and most of them talk about Thanksgiving as being the real start of Christmas. Like, you know, some people say it's after Halloween, but really, once you've got Thanksgiving out of the way, then bang, that's this Christmas all the way. And that's when I've never done anything towards Thanksgiving. In the UK, we have Harvest Festival, which is, most people wouldn't be aware of that. It's something you sort of celebrate when you're in little school. And you have like a church service where you sort of bring in food for the poor and that sort of thing. But that's about it.
Yeah.
Don't have Thanksgiving at all.
Yeah.
Don't even watch Trains, Planes, and Automobiles.
Well, you should. That's a great movie.
They should show it, but they don't. But maybe I'll try. Maybe that's how I'll celebrate Thanksgiving this year. Yeah. It's 2 days away. Right, 2 days.
Yep. You'll be on Thursday.
Day off? You working?
I actually have vacation all this week. Annually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I finally have enough seniority that I was able to grab this week to be off. So
that's cool.
And
so you'll be elbowing old ladies out of the way on Black Friday.
That's the plan. I do that anyway. I'll go in uniform before me and my wife are Black Friday professionals. We know what we're doing, and we know all the trade secrets, and we're in and out, get what we want and have a good time. So it's crazy. I think Adam from
that's one thing. We do have Black Friday.
Yeah.
So thanks to the States. Yeah. But do you know what? I think last Friday, a lot of places had already started Black Friday a week in advance. And then I got an email today from a company I bought a climbing frame of, and they were referring to it as Black Week. Yeah, but I don't think I've ever got involved in Black Friday, actually.
Yeah.
I'm too scared of those ladies elbowing me.
Yeah, that's true. And Steven says he's in the UK and they have a Texan on his
Beachy
team.
Good old Beachy. I've met Beachy. Me and him were on Totally Rad together. Totally Rad Christmas with Adam as well.
Yeah. He's got a Texan throwing him a real-life Thanksgiving party, so that should be great.
So. Good to have you on board, Beachy.
Yeah.
I promoted his play. He did a Christmas mashup. It was fantastic last Christmas, and I put it on. Played a bit of my show. Did you hear it? Did he send it to you?
Yeah. I don't know if he sent it to me or not. I don't know, but he might have. I get some emails. I get lots of emails, and I don't always go through them. You know that. You know. So.
But, isn't that English kids do a thing like that?
Yeah. So if you ever need to get a hold of me, it's probably better just to send me a direct message on Instagram. So I'll see it there.
Post a letter, but I've heard the postal service in your area is not the best. Is that right, Tom?
Except for the people that live on my route. They get the best. No, actually, we've been be honest, we've been struggling. We are short carriers. In the city I live in, there's 36 routes, and there's times we only have 25 carriers to get.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's.
Oh, that's what's working these late days then.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. but yeah, you should try Thanksgiving. I think you'd dig it.
Don't get me wrong. I like eating.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I do it every day, Todd. That's how much I like eating.
Yeah.
Sometimes all day. Yeah. Frequently, I do it 3 times a day. Yeah. There's been times where I've eaten 5 or 6 times a day. I love eating. And I'm very grateful for my life.
Yeah.
So there's no reason I've got apart from it's a work day. Maybe I should talk the wife into getting a turkey for Thanksgiving.
So every time the rock hits the gym, you have a meal. That's what you're saying.
That's what I check his Instagram.
Yeah.
And when he's I want the one with the marshmallows on top. Is that sweet potato pie with the marshmallows on top?
That's sweet potato casserole. Yes. You will like that.
Yeah, the rules we have tend not to have marshmallows in.
Yeah, yeah. when my mom makes it, she puts pecans on top,
okay.
Yeah, and they're kind of like I call them spiced pecans. They got like cinnamon and stuff on them, and it's really good. It's really good.
You know, I did 1 year try making my own pumpkin pie.
Yeah.
Because that's something you can buy in the UK. I can't remember. I bought a pumpkin and I followed the recipe. I think it was with condensed milk and loads of spices. Wasn't that good?
Yeah.
And I'm not blaming pumpkin pie for that. I'm blaming me for that. It was a shame. Because you hear about it all the time.
Yeah.
But it's not something you see ever in the UK. And a friend of mine was talking about making one. And I thought, well, if he can do it, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
I ate most of it. The wife didn't like it at all.
Yeah. Pumpkin pie is definitely good. You know, we have dressing, you know, which is just basically smashed up bread soaked in gravy. Yeah. You know how it is. But, you know, I've tried a few things from the UK over the years that I hadn't, like figgy pudding and mincemeat pies. And
yeah, mince pies. You guys call them mincemeat pies. Yeah. Was it a big one?
Or was it was the little ones. That's all I could find.
That's what we have. Yeah, because I think in the States you do get the big mincemeat pies, as they call them. But the ones in the UK are all tiny, hand-sized little pies.
Yeah, there's a store here called World Market. I found them in, the little mince pies. And those are legit delicious. I really
liked them?
I loved them.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Ah, that is good.
Yeah. The figgy pudding was fine.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
This year, I've got to make up for it.
Yeah, yeah. The figgy pudding was fine. You know, I ate it, but it wasn't near as good as the mince pies. The mince pies have become a thing I look out for to get now.
Yeah, we don't call it figgy pudding though. Yeah. No one calls it figgy pudding.
They don't. That's what they call it here. You know,
I've been referred to by people in the US as figgy pudding, but we call it just Christmas pudding. Yeah. Or sometimes people call it plum pudding.
Yeah.
But my mum makes this like a really rich one. She does it properly, like a month. She's probably made it already.
Mm-hmm.
And she leaves it in a bowl up on top of the refrigerator to soak and do what it's got to do. And then on Christmas Day, it's so strong. My wife doesn't like it at all. My kids wouldn't go near it, but I love it. And then 1 year, I can't remember why, but my mum, I don't know what happened. Oh, no, she went to Christmas dinner at my brother's, so I didn't get to go round for blooming Christmas dinner. So I bought one from Tesco's, which is sort of like, I don't know, Walmart or not Walmart. It's a supermarket.
Uh-huh.
It was naff. I was gutted. I wish I hadn't bought it because it tasted nothing like my mum's. And I think that's the thing. If it's not my mum's, I'm not saying my mum's a great cook, but she does make a great Christmas pudding.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. You get the nostalgia factor because that's the one you've always had, you know, even as a kid and stuff. And it's just something about that one that just stays, you know, in the back of your mind for the holiday season. And, you know, I'm that way with like snickerdoodles. It's like snickerdoodles aren't really a Christmas cookie, but every time I eat them, I think of Christmas because we always had them.
You've got your Christmas cookie day coming up, has it? Have you? When is it this year?
December the 8th is when it is. And so
your mum, she has an open house and anyone can go around and have cookies.
Yes.
Did you hear that, kids? If you live near Todd's mum, get a free cookie.
Yeah. Anybody's welcome to come. Anybody from around the world can come. Just got to show up and eat cookies.
I'll do anything for free food.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to have 28 different kinds of cookies this year.
So, do you help make them?
I quality control is what I do.
That's the most important job.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, somebody's got to ensure consistency and quality. Yeah.
Where do you get snickerdoodles? Explain.
Boy, they're just they're kind of a plain round cookie, but they're just seasoned with cinnamon and sugar.
And was that it?
Yeah, and that's it.
I always assumed it had something to do with Snickers.
Nope.
So it's not. There's no peanuts. There's no.
Nope.
Got caramel. No
nope.
chocolate.
Nope.
So what is it again, just a round cookie.
It's just like a sugar cookie, but you roll it in cinnamon and sugar, and bake it. Yeah. Real simple, real simple to make, super delicious. And I think they're so good because because it's so simple. It's one of those cookies that it's real hard to make a bad one. But when you make a good one, it is like head and shoulders above everything else.
Yeah. And, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Real, real simple. But they're my favorite, you know. Of course, like classic chocolate chip or oatmeal with raisins and things. But yeah, we even have a cookie from the Depression era, from, you know, the Great Depression, that my grandpa loved, called an orange slice cookie. It's a no bake cookie made with orange slice candies and nuts and stuff. And that's always a real popular one.
Yeah.
Speaking of marshmallows, we have a marshmallow sandwich cookie, which is basically two chocolate cookies with a melted marshmallow smashed in between like a sandwich, you know, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Look, the Christmas cookies aren't a massive thing in the UK. Like my girls, they'll make Christmas biscuits or cookies. Mm-hmm. And then it's just a standard biscuit mixed cookie mixture with icing on, so they're decorated like a Christmas tree or snowman or something. Uh-huh. But it's not a big thing. I think it's more, that's something in the States. It's much bigger than in the UK. Having said that, I do eat biscuits most days.
Yeah.
Or cookies.
Yeah. I don't know why that is. Cookies are like the far superior dessert. It's like you don't even need a plate or any utensils. You could just grab one and and go, and then you can like grab one and then sneak one in your pocket and eat it in secret, you know? So, but I don't know. I've just always been, you know, I love pies and cakes and all that stuff too, but just for some reason, just something about cookies, you know? And, so what would be your classic Christmas dessert then? Is it your Christmas pudding?
It is Christmas pudding. Mm-hmm. I did do a statement about trifle. Mm-hmm. Do you get trifle over there? I tell you what, there was an episode of Friends where someone, I want to say Rachel, made a trifle, but she got like two pages of the book stuck together. So she ended up making, it was like a trifle mixed with a shepherd's pie. So everyone hated it apart from Joey, and Joey ate all of it.
Right.
But this trifle is like, it's cream on top, and then you get custard under the cream, and then underneath that it's like jelly with biscuits in the jelly, or no, sponge fingers in the jelly. And my mum makes one of those most years, but the only person who eats it is my wife. So she dishes up Christmas pudding, a dessert. So I have the Christmas pudding. My dad normally has Christmas pudding and a couple of mince pies. What you do is you take the lid off the pie, and you put either some whipped cream or some ice cream in there, and then eat it like you're eating a biscuit. And then my wife would have a slice of the trifle. And then when we're leaving, my mum would give her the rest of the trifle. So she's got trifle for a few days. Oh, everyone wins.
Everybody wins.
Yeah. So those are the main puddings, is a trifle, a Christmas pudding, and mince pies. You get Christmas cake as well, which is almost like a wedding cake. Do you have Christmas cake? It's a bit like a fruitcake, but it's got a lot of it's alcohol in it as well, and they have marzipan and thick icing around it. My mum always makes one of those, but I don't think I've ever eaten a whole slice of it. I'm not a fan.
Yeah. Yeah. No, cakes usually aren't a big deal around here for Christmas time. I do know some people that make like a happy birthday Jesus cake, but it's just basically a regular birthday cake, you know. Here in the States, cookies are the big dessert. So
normally you'd have turkey, would you? Not just on Thanksgiving, but on Christmas Day.
Yeah, turkey or ham. And
you just have biscuits, cookies. Is that right?
Yeah, or pies. Pies are always big. Where I live, there's minimal difference between Thanksgiving dinner and Christmas dinner. Very minimal. There are more people that will do roast beef on Christmas than they would, you know, on Thanksgiving. Or prime rib, I should say, not roast beef, prime rib. But it's very minimal. Like we'll have turkey and ham and Thanksgiving and pies, and there won't be very many cookies there. But then Christmas, there'll probably be a little bit of turkey, but mostly ham, and then some pies, but mostly cookies. And then the sides are kind of all the same kind of things. But other places it kind of varies. But here in the South of the States, it's kind of more or less the same kind of meal. I think that's why Thanksgiving's so big. It's like a good warm up, you know,
right,
for Christmas. But yeah.
Did you guys have Brussels sprouts then on your Christmas dinner?
No, we won't do Brussels sprouts. We'll eat them any other time of the year.
Do you have them like any time of the year?
Yeah, any time of the year. Yep.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, yeah. I love Brussels sprouts.
I don't think I've ever eaten a Brussels sprout not in December.
Really?
I don't think that's ever happened. Yeah. Do you know what? I had something the other day. Where was that? Oh, there's a local carvery. Do you have carveries at all in the States?
Not that I'm aware of.
Restaurant, it's like almost like a buffet, but they carve the meat for you and then you help yourself to sides. It's normally like a big roast dinner.
Uh-huh.
And they had Brussels sprouts there already. So that was November. So that's probably the first time I've had a Brussels sprout in November. You can't buy them the rest of the year. There might be places you could, but I don't think I've ever seen one in the shops. Yeah, it's just a Christmas thing.
You can actually Red Lobster serves Brussels sprouts as one of their sides. So if you go to a Red Lobster to eat, which is a big seafood chain here in the States, you can get soy and ginger Brussels sprouts year round. So
the ginger.
Yeah. And
sounds nice.
But a lot of times my wife will buy them and then like quarter them and then roast them with, you know, olive oil and salt, you know.
Yeah. See, my mum just boils the life out of them and they're just gray, green blobs on your plate. They're just awful. Well, my wife, she'll roast them and then they taste all right. Chop up a bit of bacon in there as well. Bit of olive oil or something. That's then they're more palatable.
Yeah. Do you guys do deviled eggs?
No, but I've heard of them. Is that where you take out the yolk and you do something to it and put it back in?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're delicious. My wife makes jalapeno bacon deviled eggs that are to die for.
I'm trying to think where I'd heard of them.
Yeah.
But no, it's not something.
Sounds like you're going to have to come live with me for a year or so I can get you educated on all this stuff.
On these culinary delights. Yeah. Yeah. You can come over here and have a biscuit.
Yeah. I'll eat a biscuit, fish and chips. Steven asked earlier in the chat, he said something about, he was wondering if you're ever going to run out of Christmas carols to watch.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Because I don't do them every episode. I do about 25 episodes a year.
Uh-huh.
And I don't do it every episode. So say I do maybe 17, 18 versions a year.
Yeah.
There's hundreds out there and people send ones to me that I'd never even heard of. Plus also every year you're getting two or three new ones as well. So if I live to be 100 and I keep the podcast going, then I might start to run out. But for the time being, I've got plenty of episodes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Gas. No. Sitting there drinking a can. Dr. Pepper burping into your mic.
Oh, yeah. That's all right.
That was one of the things right from the start when I decided I want to do a podcast. I really wanted to talk about versions of A Christmas Carol because there's so many out there and there's so many that I love. And there's also so many that are really naff, really.
Yeah. 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 So what's your favorite overall Christmas Carol? Which version? Muppets.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
A lot of people say it's like really close to the book and it is to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
There are other versions that are closer, but it's so festive. Whereas a lot of the others can be a bit dark and a bit dismal. The joy that's in it and the humor and yet they still use a lot of the script from the book as well. Plus Michael Caine is I think the best Scrooge. He just really commits to the role.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about it is just glory. And when I watch it, every time I just enjoy it as much as the previous time. I don't think I'll ever get bored of it. And also every time I watch it, I fall in love with Belle every single time. Yeah. She's just the woman that's so beautiful. She was the perfect choice. She's got the way she looks at Scrooge. Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus also anything with Kermit in. I love Kermit and Robin. Yeah. He's the best, Tiny Tim.
Oh yeah.
I tell you what, I also like Scrooge. In the UK, it's just called A Christmas Carol, I think. But in the States, I think when it was released, it was called Scrooge.
Uh-huh.
And in the UK, I think now they call it A Christmas Carol with Alistair Sim. So every year, near Christmas, when my wife goes out, I'll sit at home in the dark and watch the Alistair Sim version while I drink mulled wine.
Uh-huh.
But the version I've got, they gave it away years ago with a newspaper. They used to give away DVDs on a Sunday with the newspapers.
Yeah.
And the version I've got is the colorized version.
Oh.
I know. And I feel a little bit like, I don't know. Normally I'm a purist and I've got this colorized version. And the problem is last year, because it's on YouTube, the black and white version.
Yeah.
And last year I thought, do you know what? I'm going to watch the black and white version. And then when it came to it, I couldn't do it. I ended up watching the colorized one again. The shame. Shame on me.
Yeah. Well, we can edit this part out if you need to.
People know my guilty secret.
Yeah. Now, have you found a version that like really surprised you because maybe you didn't know it, but it was legit pretty good?
Oh, no. I think I'm aware of all the. I tell you what, the one I'm just either the next episode or the episode after. Uh-huh. I've got Ed Daly. I think you've met Ed Daly. Have you? He wrote the Christmas book. Yes. He was on your show, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Good guy.
Yeah. So every year, the last 3 years, he's come on and we've talked about a different version of A Christmas Carol. And the one he brought on this time, I'd completely forgotten about. I'm going to talk about this, sadly, in my episode so that everyone here is getting a sneak peek.
Wow.
It's a version, an episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
And it's completely forgotten about it. I would have watched it because I've watched every episode. And that one, I found it very, very funny. It's one of the loosest versions of A Christmas Carol. But there's some real treats in that episode. If you don't mind a bit of swearing
and a bit of
Danny DeVito's nudity, it's a really, really good, really fun Christmas version. And it's a good Christmas episode of a sitcom as well. So that one... Yeah, when Ed recommended it, it did sort of jump out as being good. I thought, generally, a lot of the versions you get what you. There's one that I watched on Amazon 2 years ago, and I thought, goodness me, I'm going to cover this on the show. And it's not free anymore because it was on Prime, and now I've got to pay for it. It was that bad. I thought, I'm not paying for that. Mm-hmm. So I've got to wait for it to be free again that I can actually cover it. But it was just horrendous. I think a lot of it was phoned on some geezer's phone. I think he'd actually put his mate to phone it, film it on his phone.
Yeah.
I think that's what happened.
Yeah. Well, I'll put you on the spot for a minute. Who do you think should play like the next great Ebenezer Scrooge in a feature length version of A Christmas Carol?
Oh, you should have primed me for this.
I should have.
My brain is the size of a pea. And I've got to delve into it and try and figure out who the best.
Yeah.
Have you got any ideas?
I have a few. I think Tom Hanks would probably knock it out of the park.
No, he's too nice. I wouldn't trust him as being nasty.
Yeah. How about How about Steve Carell? You know, but the one I want to see, the one I want to see, Idris Elba.
Ah, do you know the last one I covered? It was a black Ebenezer Scrooge. It's African American.
Yeah.
Is that the way? Yeah. That was actually it was modern day. I say modern. Mm-hmm. It was in the '80s. That was actually quite an interesting one. Yeah. It was the guy that played Benson. His name I've forgotten now.
Yeah. I think Idris Elba would be great because he can be real stern and cranky just looking at him. You know, he always kind of looks like he's upset about something, but he can also be, you know, he's just a great actor anyway, but I think he would do.
He could do anything really, yeah. Idris Elba. You're mm-hmm. right. I'm thinking Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
I think he'd do a good job. He's maybe a bit too tall though, but then I don't know if that's a problem or not. I'm not sure.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not. Yeah, he would be good. He would be good, and he could make it straight to DVD too. And you know, but Liam Neeson would be good. Man, it kind of some of the problem of thinking which actors would be is a lot of the actors I think you know would do it because they're younger. They're all old now. You know, Steven saying Hugh Grant. So
that is actually I think Hugh Grant read, there's an audiobook version on Audible that Hugh Grant read. And I think it's half decent. I haven't listened to it. I think Scott Newman did. And I think he told me about it. That's a good call, Stephen. Well done.
Yeah. Well done, Stephen. I have the Patrick Stewart audiobook of it, of him reading it. So, which is nice.
Yeah, I'd covered his version of A Christmas Carol back in, I think it was January. I think it might have been the first one I did this year. That's a good version, but it's a bit dull. That's what's so good about the Muppets one. It's got a bit more color to it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Just something about the Muppets. You know, just the humor. It's like the song 12 Days of Christmas. I just don't enjoy, but their version of it, I'll sit through and smile the whole time listening to it. Just something about their take on things is wonderful.
12 Days of Christmas is the 12 Days of Christmas is a boring song, but if you get a whole bunch of people together, like a family party, I tell you what, when your cookie party, you want to get everyone involved, put them in bunches with the 12 days, and everyone shouts out their thing. I've been in a few pubs at Christmas where they've done that. and it gets everyone involved, and it just makes the song that much more fun.
Right.
So I was never a fan before, but these days, yeah, I really like it when it's a joyful event that everyone gets involved in.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. How about the Tommy Lee Jones? You think he would be a good Scrooge?
Yeah, he would actually, wouldn't he? My concern is, you need them to be able to transform and be really happy at the end.
Yeah.
Because certain versions, what they still, like, I was not a huge fan of the George C. Scott version because I felt like he still seemed too stern at the end. He didn't seem playful. He just seemed a bit less miserable. The one with Guy Pearce as well, that was hideous. Mm-hmm. And his, like, transformation, really, he just still seemed like he was a git, but just, and he sacked Bob Cratchit in that version as well.
Right.
So that was just, that was a terrible one. But if you got Tommy Lee Jones, I think he could pull it off as being happy at the end of it.
Yeah. Robert De Niro would kind of probably fall in that not happy enough.
He doesn't often play jovial, does he?
Yeah. Joyful. Plus two, he would probably look like Robert De Niro playing Scrooge. Which might be funny on its own, you know. But I'd like to see a proper Englishman do it, you know. I think that would be best. How about Tom Hiddleston? Is he too young?
No, actually, maybe in a few years he wouldn't do a bad job of it. But I'm not a fan of Tom Hiddleston for my sins. I shouldn't say that actually because I don't dislike anything he's done particularly, but for some reason I just Yeah, that's, yeah. When he's older, I think I still felt like Guy Pearce was too young, but
yeah,
he probably wasn't. I just, yeah, I'm getting older. Yeah. I feel like Scrooge should be at least 20 years older than me.
Yeah.
And in a few years' time, if they're 20 years older than me, they'll all be dead. So
yeah, yeah.
Maybe it'll have to be someone my age, yeah, soon, I suppose.
Maybe Daniel, yeah, Craig.
No, I don't see him as being happy, though. I need, yeah, the joy at the end. That's what Michael Caine does so well, yeah, in his version, because he is a real miserable miser. Mm-hmm. But the transformation is phenomenal when he's just a completely changed character. And I think the fact that he's singing, that makes a big difference, because you don't, yeah, often see sing when he's happy. And when you see him singing, actually you do see the real joy and playfulness in him, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough. I always wished that the United States version of The Office had it like a Christmas Carol episode, because I think that cast would have made one funny version of A Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
You know,
they would, wouldn't they? Mm-hmm. I suppose they didn't do that, actually. They made enough episodes.
Yeah.
They could have went in there.
Yeah. What's one more? Yeah. You know, but yeah. 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 I think that would have been hilarious. Yeah. Yeah. It had Stanley as the ghost of Christmas yet to come. I think that's
it. Yeah, yeah, no future.
Well, yeah, no future. We're not going to say it. I love that you're a purist.
I am a purist, but I think he does talk about, I will live in the past, the present, and the future. So he does say future. Uh-huh. Scrooge does. And
yeah,
actually, I'm just trying to think in the book if anyone does refer to the ghost of Christmas yet to come. Because the ghost of Christmas yet to come doesn't speak.
Right.
Maybe Scrooge calls him that and then later on talks about the future. I should know this. I've read the book so often.
Yeah.
You had to read the book, Todd.
I have, but I can't remember exactly what he says. And I think it's because I've seen so many versions and Ghost of Christmas Future and all that used so much that it kind of gets cloudy. But I kind of like that because to me, even though it's really nuanced, there is a difference between yet to come and future, you know.
Oh,
yeah, I couldn't tell you what it was, but there's something brings different about it, you know. Because
I think what's funny is I've watched so many different versions of A Christmas Carol. Sometimes I watch a version and a character will say something and I think, oh, they took that straight from the book.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized, no, they didn't. They just took it from a different version of A Christmas Carol, yeah, not the book. So they're actually stealing from other versions of A Christmas Carol, but not the actual source material.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess kind of what I'm getting at is when you say future is like this undefined time that could be way ahead of, you know, where you're at, but yet to come means it's a lot closer than that, you know.
I never thought of that, actually. Yeah. I think I just like hearing people say what it says in the book.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Oh, but yeah, I get it. I actually have been on played in a Christmas Carol musical a couple of times.
Wow. Who did you play?
I played, gosh, I can't remember his name. The guy, some beggar that owed Scrooge some money, Jenkins.
Okay.
Yeah. And, I just had a couple of lines and a lot of singing and dancing and things. And it was a lot different than the book. But it was a lot of fun, you know. I actually had to take a comedy pratfall, you know, everybody likes to see. Yeah, everybody likes to see the big guy fall down, you know. So, we played moochers, you know, people that owed Scrooge money, and we had this song where, you know, Scrooge was coming to collect money and all this stuff, and I offer him up like hot broth, you know, to kind of soften him up to you know, give me an extension, and then all of us are like in this crowd trying to hide from him, and then one of the other moochers, who was my wife, pushes me towards Scrooge, and then I like fall down and then like crawl away
into the crowd, you know, to get away. So, yeah. And so we did that for a few years, and it was a lot of fun.
Oh, cool. So it's good doing something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. It's when getting involved with something like that, it helps with the build up to Christmas because you get all the rehearsals. Yeah. And then when you actually put the show on, everyone's there together. That's the best thing about Christmas, yeah, is having big events where there's lots of people together all celebrating and enjoying themselves together. That's one of the things I like the most. Yeah.
Our other Christmas Carol expert, Art from Cozy Christmas Podcast, is in here. He said he checked. Scrooge refers to him once as a ghost of Christmas future.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. And then he refers to him several times as the ghost of Christmas yet to come. So
yeah, that was it.
Yeah. Christmas yet to come's a lot cooler name. So
I think so. Yeah. And I think the problem I've got is it just seems lazy when they call him ghost of Christmas futures. People won't know what you mean if you say yet to come. Why not? That's the other thing that gets me is you've got these versions that are really similar, but then for some reason they'll just change the odd word here and there when they've got the dialogue. And I think just stick to the dialogue and you'd be the perfect version, but they just choose not to do that. Yeah, I covered a couple this year. One in particular, a cartoon version that was almost exact. They'd kept in nearly every scene from the book. And yet they insisted on just changing the dialogue just to dumb it down a little bit. I'm not going to give you examples, but, you know, actually I will. Instead of saying losing your situation, Scrooge would say you'll lose your job. Mm-hmm. Just something like that, you know. No need.
Yeah.
No need.
Yep. You know, Peter Jackson needs to direct the next Scrooge movie. That way it'd be like 4.5 hours long.
Yeah, the problem is the Alistair Sim version is a good hour and I think hour and 40 odd. So it might be a bit less than that, might be a bit more. They add a lot of stuff that's not in the book.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. I think if you're going to do it as close to the source material as possible, I don't think you can get much more than an hour and 20 minutes, really.
Yeah. Yeah. What did you think of the movie The Man Who Invented Christmas?
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah.
I did. I liked it. Yeah. I don't imagine it's particularly historical.
Yeah.
But I did I like the concept behind it, and I like Dan Stevens. And I thought, was it Von Trapp, the guy of Sound of Music, played Scrooge, didn't he?
Oh, Christopher Plummer.
Boom. That's him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I thought he was good as well. He's a bit old now, but he would have been he would have done a good Scrooge, I think.
Yeah. Well, he got that role last minute because of, what's his name? Kevin Spacey got into all that trouble.
Oh, is that mm-hmm. right? I knew there was, I remember now that there was going to be someone else, but no, it was Kevin mm-hmm. Spacey.
Yeah. Kevin Spacey, who's great in every role that he plays except the role of real life, you know, so.
But
Kevin Spacey was supposed to be Scrooge, which would have been just as great. But I think Chris Plummer knocked it out of the park on that.
Yeah, in that one. Yeah, and it was nice to learn a bit more about Dickens's actual history, not just mm-hmm. the writing of it, but what he was going through at the time and that sort of thing. Very interesting man, Charles Dickens was. Very interesting.
Yeah, it seemed like it. It seemed like he was, I guess, that kind of artist mentality, you know, of kind of being, fast and loose with money and then, you know, just having strokes of genius, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And his dad was fast and loose with money as well, which is why Dickens felt so much empathy to the poor because he ended up being in one of the workhouses that he talks about in the books.
Yeah. Yeah. How about Andrew Lincoln? Think he would play Scrooge?
I don't know. Actually, I think he could. Yeah. I think I think he could play miserable and also quite happy as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like Andrew Lincoln. He was in This Life. Did you get This Life over there?
No.
No, it's a great show. Great
we show. Only know Andrew Lincoln from The Walking Dead.
And Love Actually.
Yes, and that, yeah. So about another last name I'll throw out there for Scrooge. Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, I can see him committing to it quite well. And I can see him doing both sides as well. You know, the happy and the miserable. Yeah. That's a good one. I like that. And he's probably about the right age now. I think for some reason I've got it in my head that Scrooge was 53, but that must be a version of the film where he, you know, the A version where you find out, because sometimes on the gravestone it shows you the year he's born and the year he dies, so you can work out how old they have him as.
Yeah.
And I'd say, yeah, 50s, a lot, yeah. Because sometimes he's like really, really old and you're thinking, well, he's, when you've got the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come, he ain't got many Christmases left either way.
Yeah.
Whether he's, you know, evil or not. So you want someone a bit younger. I think Michael Caine was, I think, mid to late 50s, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
When he played, I think.
Yeah, because you don't want the Christmases Yet to Come, and then it's like 2 years later, you don't, he's gone.
So peace in your sleep.
I think that would work. Of course, then, of course, even now, 53 is not as old as it used to be.
That's true. Yeah, that is true.
I don't know if that's just because I'm getting older and I'm closer to that than I am, 33. But it just seems like people in general are looking, seem younger at 53 than they used to.
Oh,
yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, I think the other thing is you've got to have plenty of years, because they talk about at the end of the book, it says that he became known as a great man, as great a man as the city of London had ever known, or the city, the great city.
Yeah, so got to have 20 years.
He's got 3 years left. People going to get to spread the word of what a great guy is? So,
He definitely need a good 20 years for that, I would think.
At least, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. So, all right, Jack, before I let you go, let's talk about the essential Christmas music playlist. This is a, like I've said before, best way I can explain it, these are songs that I have deemed essential for Christmas. They're not in any kind of order. They're just, it's just a list of songs. And we'll see what you think of this week's list. We have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, Frank Sinatra and the Julie Garland version, Frosty the Snowman, Jimmy Durant and the Ronettes versions both, Gabriel's Message by Sting, What Christmas Means to Me, Stevie Wonder, and then also CeeLo Green's version, Winter Wonderland by Dean Martin, also the Eurythmics, Christmas in Hollis, Run DMC, I'll Be Home by Meghan Trainor, Carol of the Bells, Barlow Girl, and the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and then Someday at Christmas, Stevie Wonder again on this list. Jack, what do you think of this entry into the Essential Christmas Playlist?
Do you know what? I can't lie to you. There's a couple on there that I don't know. I'll Be Home by Meghan Trainor, and I know I've heard it before, but I can't remember Gabriel's Message either by Sting. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, I think Jimmy Durante's version of Frosty the Snowman, it might be all right on the special, but I'm not sure if it's something I want to listen to if it's not on the special. The Ronettes version, though, love that one.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of the thing about doing this list is every week it's pretty solid. Definitely I'll Be Home is probably one that people aren't the most familiar with, maybe Gabriel's Message. I'm not sure how many. But they're kind of ones that really stick. And especially Gabriel's Message, it's like when you hear it, it's like, yes, this is Christmas, just when you hear it. And then I'll Be Home by Meghan Trainor is one of those songs that is, it's almost like a new version of I'll Be Home for Christmas. Kind of has that same emotional tug, just kind of a modern version. And first time I heard it, it was on my instant. One of my favorite lists. And every time I hear it, I still kind of gets me in the Christmas feels and the nostalgia feels.
How old is it? Can I ask?
It's probably, I want to say 2014. She released it on a album of a bunch of other people's, like a compilation album. I can never say that word right. And, but then when she had her Christmas album last year or the year before, whichever it was on there as well as one of the songs.
it was just the same. It was the same version. I don't think she released it, or reproduced it or anything. It originally came out. Let me pull it up here. Yep. 2014 is when it did come out. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I don't think I've heard of that at all. Tell you what, though, I'd like to. I do like Meghan Trainor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to dig that one out, I think.
Yeah, I think you would. It's just something about it just kind of hits me in the Christmas feels and you know, the, you know, it's just one of those. I'm a Meghan Trainor fan, too. But just like I said, something about that song just gets me. It's like. The very opening line of the song is Santa called to make sure I'm prepared. You know,
that's nice.
You know, it's like, so, but yeah, you know, Frosty the Snowman, Jimmy Durante, you know, for the special, there's several versions, but Ronettes is one of those. Ronette, it's like anytime you hear the Ronettes, you think Christmas,
right? Yes. They can turn any song into a glorious Christmas tune.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. That's like a top tier level Christmas song. No, you know, no matter who. And that was one of the challenging parts of this list is I only allowed two artists per song. So I had to find the two artists that, you know, it could just be one artist, but to find two artists that, encapsulated the song, you know.
I think you chose the right two there, definitely.
Yeah. And I think Winter Wonderland, I think the Rhythmics is becoming more synonymous with that than just about any other artist.
Yeah, that's the funny thing, because being from the UK, the same as the Rhythmics, I cannot, in my brain, remember Winter Wonderland by their version.
Yeah. It's kind of becoming their Christmas song. I could probably easily put them down by themselves. Here for Winter Wonderland and been okay, you know.
I don't know, not in the UK. Is it how does it sound? Does it sound like the Dean Martin version, or have they done something to it?
It sounds like the Eurythmics.
Oh, does it?
Sounds like Sweet Dreams, Sweet Dreams, Winter Wonderland's what it sounds like.
I've got to check this one out now as well.
Yeah. Of course, Christmas and Hollis, classic hip hop Christmas tune. Probably the less known band on here is Barlow Girl. But their Carol of the Bells is head and shoulders the best version I've ever heard.
They got lyrics on that one, have they?
Yes, they do.
It's a Trans-Siberian Orchestra. That's without lyrics.
Without lyrics, yeah.
Okay.
Barlow Girl is a trio of ladies that sing, and their version of Carol of the Bells. I've listened lots of versions of a lot of these songs, kind of like you have with the Christmas carols. And the Barlow Girl one's been around for quite a while, and it's still, to me, it's just a head and shoulders above a lot of the other versions. Just something about it, just really magnificent.
Yeah, Carol of the Bells is a funny song because it's only sort of in more recent years, and when I say recent years, I'm talking like 10 or 15 years, mm-hmm. that I've really been aware of it. I don't think I was massively aware of it when I was younger. It's on Home Alone, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on that. I think Trans-Siberian Orchestra really, helped relaunch it. Another thing that helped relaunch it, probably subconsciously, and I only know this, there's a podcast called Strong Songs. And he did an episode where he musically breaks down, well, all his episodes. He takes a popular song and breaks it down musically, you know, almost note by note. On what makes a song good. And he did a episode on What Is This from The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Do you know what? That's funny because Dwayne mentioned that on the episode that I was on Tinsel Tunes. Yeah, that's funny. I've never heard of Strong Songs, and it seems like everyone's talking about it. No?
Yeah. And when he does songs from musicals, like he does a song from Hamilton and stuff, there's motifs. So when certain characters come into view, there's a little musical section that's played every time they're on screen. And in your subconscious, you hear it So it prepares you for that. Well, every time Jack Skellington is on, there's a certain motif that plays, and the motif is a gotta get the iteration of the opening of Carol of the Bells.
Oh, and wow.
Yeah.
I don't want to listen to that for that.
Yeah. It's real subtle, but it's cool when you break it down and you hear it, because it's one of those things that's in, it's in your subconscious, but you don't really openly pay attention to it.
Well, you know?
So, yeah. So it's cool. It's a great episode. It's a great podcast for any music lover. He doesn't get real, even if you don't play music, he doesn't get deeply into the weeds on all the, you know, technical stuff. But it, I encourage everybody to go listen to at least the, what is this episode with, Nightmare Before Christmas on Strong Songs. But, yeah, pretty solid list. We got a few more weeks to go. I'll be having, the whole playlist updated, before Thanksgiving, since I had to miss a few weeks, but, we'll get caught up. So I'll ask you this. What's one, since doing your podcast and doing all this Christmas podcast craziness, what's one thing that that's kind of surprised you about it all?
How few listeners I get, Todd. Bearing in mind that my podcast is a work of art and a work of genius combined.
Yes.
The fact that I've only got 3 listeners or 4 on a good day is the bit that surprised me the most.
You got 5 on that episode I was on.
Yeah, I did actually. Most listened to, one of the most listened to ones. Yeah, I was chuffed with that. My 5 listeners. Yeah. So there's that.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. What else has surprised me about it? I think it's nice the friends I've made.
Yeah.
Like, you know, meeting your good self, of course. Mm-hmm. And then when I first started, because I went about 3 or 4 episodes, I didn't have a single listener. I was quite happy with that because I sort of knew that was going to happen because I wasn't really putting myself out there. I just was making this podcast. And then Dwayne Bailey from Tinsel Tunes was kind enough to mention my podcast. And then it sort of started snowballing. And that's when I first met Scott Newman. And every year, Scott and I talk. He was in the latest episode with Dwayne.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, it's nice to share emails with Scott and listen to his podcasts. And he does segments for the show occasionally. He talks about the real St. Nicholas, which is really interesting. If you like, he'll read out stories from the past of the real St. Nicholas. Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know many people in the States. I never have, but now I do because I've got people that email me. Out of my 3 listeners, I've got a few friends and a lovely lady called Shelley Arnold, who makes a fantastic Christmas village every year that I've been doing the podcast. At Christmas, she'll come on the show and she'll give us a guided tour of the camera on her laptop and show us all the things she's added. And it's huge, this Christmas village. And she's just a delight. And her husband, Frank, and my girls, they love seeing it as well. And only this evening, my little girls then, are we going to get to see that lady with the Christmas village again? So, yeah, that's what I like. That's the best bit. That's definitely the best bit is the people I've met, you know. Yeah. And what's great about the Christmas podcast community is people that like Christmas are generally pretty nice people. I mean, I'm the exception, but everyone else seems just really friendly and delightful. And it's just so all the people you meet are just friendly and delightful people. It is a great community, and it is nice to have met all these wonderful people, and not just in the States as well. I've got listeners in Denmark. That's one of the 3 listeners. Mm-hmm. And Australia as well. Yeah. But
a lot of people don't know this, but Jack is the first person that was on the naughty list to start a Christmas podcast.
Got a lump of coal. Still got that lump of coal.
So, but you know, since we all welcome you in, I tell you what though, the Christmas podcast group is a ruthless bunch, especially if they like you. They are ruthless. You know, but I've enjoyed Total Christmas Podcast. It makes me laugh so much. I just love it. And we'll try to double your listenership. Maybe you'll have 6 or 7, you know, with your newest episode. Yeah.
Like no one can find it anyway, it seems.
Yeah. Well, I have links to it down below in the description of this video and in the show notes if you're listening on the podcast. And that way you guys are just no more than a tap away from Jack and Total Christmas Podcast. And so, well, Jack, I really appreciate you hopping on here with me.
Hey, kick me off, Woody. If you kick me off, Total, I'm going to speak to the wife. Can't I stay here?
No, you can't stay here. You can't stay here because here's what we're going to do. I'm going to end the podcast, but we're going to stay on YouTube and talk with all the great people in the chat and see what they have to say and catch up on some of the things they said about what we were talking about. And so if you're just listening on the podcast, I really appreciate it. But if you ever get a chance to hang out with us on our live recordings on YouTube, we'd love to have you there. This time's at a different time for us because I want it to be available for my listeners that are over in the UK and Ireland and Germany and stuff at a more decent hour of the day for them. And so it started 6 hours earlier, and so they could be around. It looks like we have a few able to hop in, which has made me very happy. But for you guys out there in podcast land, thank you again for listening to us here on Christmas Clatter. Jack, Total Christmas Podcast, all his links are in the description, the show notes. So go check him out. I know you'll enjoy what he has to offer. And
you're big enough now, Todd. You've picked up my podcast and people will stop trusting you. They go and listen to it. Like, what was Todd talking about? Feeling sorry for that strange English bloke. And then they'll be like, well, can't trust him anymore. You don't want to do that, Todd. Just tell it like it is.
Well, see, here in
the microphone, and then people, sometimes, and then well, three people listen.
Well, see, it's different here in the States with your English accent. You can say whatever you want. People think you're automatically way smarter than they are. So people listen to it thinking they're getting an education just because of the accent.
You know? My accent?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. That's the way it goes. People hear my Southern accent and they just automatically think I'm way dumber than I really am, which kind of goes for my advantage too. But guys, until we see you again, remember, keep Christmas hope alive every day.
Yeah. Merry, happy Christmas, everyone.